That's the logic that I presented.
Further questions of Mr. Robinson? Thank you, Chairman.
I'd like to amend that to 1981, so the bearing on the crash will be, I guess, the accident about that. And if they don't do, we can... Follow?
Hey,
I don't want to put them in a martyr position.
I understand, and I appreciate that. What do you guys want to do? Let me get any...
Mr. Chairman, they have an additional year anyway. You know, next year, they would go out of business, they still got an additional year.
My experience, 5 or 6 years in the industry, under ATC regulation is that while they may not have the expertise in the person of the tariff specialist, they sure have enough bodies of steel representatives and inspectors, whatever that classification is called, and they're out doing their work, I think, to the detriment of, or certainly not to the benefit of the air taxi industry in many, many cases. I think that they maybe clean up their act a little better, a little quicker, if they enjoy the higher anxiety that would come from 1981.
Yeah.
It's your cold again, sir.
Mr. Chairman, in the absence of further constructive discussion, I'd move Senate Bill 236.
I object, and I will amend the figure on line 12 to 1981.
Okay, we have a motion before us to amend line 12, is it?
Yes, I think it's line 12.
Line 12, substitute 1981 in place of 1980.
Yes, sir.
Further discussion on that amendment? All in favor of the motion, signify by raising your right hand. All opposed, same sign. The motion fails. Mm-hmm. 3-1 vote, 1-3 vote. Senator Sumner?
I move it as an item 3.
31 March, isn't
it? I move it as an item 3 that we pass Senate Bill 236. The due pass recommendation.
Okay, a motion has been made for a due pass recommendation on Senate Bill 236. Before we vote on that, I'd like to point out that we did. When you sign a committee report out of finance with due pass, that generally indicates that your vote on the floor will be in support of that bill. And perhaps this is a discussion should take place better
in
executive session with the full committee here.
Yes.
This morning we saw a significant violation of that procedure. So we have the motion before us. Pass from committee, Senate Bill 236, with a due pass recommendation. Hearing no objection.
Several bills and rules this year, you know, which we never used to do because of that getting amended rules. That was the word.
It was required to put it back into original position.
So anyway, that's
not according to Coletta.
I know that. Well, that's who shot it.
After he got done talking, I didn't know what the hell was.
You know that it changed the permanent from 30 days up to 180 days for the finance committee. And they said they were going to correct that. Best of my knowledge, that's all it did. It was just correct that language.
Well, any proper reaction would be to stand up. I think Senator Ray did that and change his committee report.
Yeah, because I had written it wrong on there because I wasn't no way were they going to work for that. In fact, they raced it one time.
SCR 20, relating to the construction of a road from Bruce and Point McKinsey. Point McKinsey.
SCR.
Oh.
Point McKinsey.
No recommendation.
Senator Sumner, would you like to carry 236 on the
floor? Yes.
SCR.
SCR 20.
Senator Couture.
Mr. President. Chairman Senators, do
we have an meeting, Mr. President? Chairman, we have.
We're at ease. We're back in session. Would you like to?
$1 million minimum worth of land the state is going to have up for sale in that area shortly. The Anchorage area has a great deal of interest in it because a lot of the residents of Anchorage area own land in the Goose Bay area, Point McKenzie area. Matsu Borough, it's its priority, major piece of property, and the one to which they need service road. There's a great deal of study going back to the 70s, early 70s, on this subject. Mr. President, they have three plans, and Plan D is the one they're recommending. The borough is hoping that the state will participate, and the borough itself is going to put up a considerable amount of effort and funds into this project. It's a 20-mile road. It's on high ground. The estimated cost is $8 million, and we want to involve the state for the 81 budget allocations. The resolution now calls for the state, or for the borough, to spend some $200,000 of its own money in this location, and the state to pick up a minimal amount and put it on the system for a future construction program. I guess you may have some questions. Again, if you wanted to know what the priority of that whole area was, it's this particular road project.
Is that found expression in the Matsu Borough Transportation Plan?
Yes.
Do you call it?
Yes, it's it is the priority area. The Matsu Transportation Plan came about, and in fact, for a moment, was in conflict with this until they recognized the fact that this was the borough priority. Whether they were in conflict, they're in conflict with the timetable. Mm-hmm. Now it has support department highways, had unanimous endorsement of the Senate Resources Committee.
Would it be a clarification if we were to add language on page 2? Line 1. Design end after the word begin. That would mean to complete all planning necessary to begin design end construction.
On line 4, page 2, there is a resources amendment.
Wait, I'm on the wrong.
That's correct.
I'm on the wrong bill.
I'd support the resources amendment to the bill, which is the recommendation of the Deputy Commissioner of the DOT, Mr. Holden. Has about 50,000 acres in here in the state and has some other selections. The state lands up are in this area and they're miscellaneous also. There is a game refuge out in this area here against the ocean. But there's at least 100,000 acres in here top quality property with the whole industrial sector of the borough. This is the Anchorage potential bridge road. This is the area of the port, and we've got a great deal of engineering already accomplished.
And we have a proposed finance committee substitute.
What? Yeah. Okay, that's fine.
What I'm asking you is, what did you begin design and construction?
when necessary to begin design and construction. Yeah, you're right. Must means should have had. Thank you very much. I don't know how they missed that. But that would be the finance substitute. It's under sacrifice today.
Do we have copies up for this? And also the Napakia project.
That's the one that was tied to my last year vote for the North Slope Road. You know, they didn't vote yet.
So on page two of this committee substitute, line one, complete all planning necessary to begin. New language, design and construction.
What does that do today? Fiscal note.
What does that do what?
There's a fiscal note of planning.
Good. It puts it in conformity with the fiscal note. Places the, as I understand it, the impact at $210,000.
Okay.
Jerry? Yep.
Well,
no,
that's it.
To begin planning and it's in one line. It's not change the word.
Design.
Again, it's design.
What you see is just a bad copy. The one line that you can read is the correct line.
Mr. Chairman, I have one question from that. It's a dramatic light. What is approximation of this road to the proposed looking at the gas line going to Tidewater?
The gas line to Tidewater will come down the general area but will cross and end up at Pima. Cross the inlet and end up at Tina. Now you may mean another one. You may mean the North Slope one proposed. I meant the one that was generating the Susitna Valley. As you know, they discovered one of the 20 largest gas fields in the nation there, and they're expecting to double or triple that and build an LNG plant on the Kenai side. The actual location may well be just south of this crossing where this road ends up right here. That certainly would be the borough's bid. Here is where the connection to Anchorage is proposed by the studies that have been done, if and when they ever do. And this would be the area in here.
So basically that structure could be used for the construction.
Yeah, all industrial. And if that's the borough, the deep water here is considered for the location, that would be. It is one number of locations.
Further discussion? So we have before us a proposed Finance Committee substitute for SCR 20, which is as it's written, plus the added language on page 2. Any questions on that?
And is that the only difference between the committee substitute?
No, the original bill asked that this road project be given the highest priority, and
I can get amended that. Okay, no problem. Move and ask unanimous consent that we pass out the finance committee substitute, our committee substitute, present current resolution number 20.
Finance committee substitute for SCR 20.
Yeah, individual recommendation, please.
How many new passes do we have?
Bill Ray!
I'm a new pass. With individual.
Thank you very much.
HB 307. Act making transfers between appropriations for FY 79, Department of Natural Resources.
Yes, that's in the file.
Is there anyone here to talk on this bill? Yes, sir.
Sir, my name, Mr. Chairman, my name is Helton Wolf. I'm with the Division of Parks and Recreation.
HB 307. We have a proposed committee substitute for that bill also.
Need and admin and support is largely in contractual services, and there I might point out that for the FY79 budget, the total amount requested is still less than what the Senate passed last year in the 79 budget. What had happened there was that the actual expenditure for FY78 was over $60,000. The request for FY79, which was approved by the Senate, was $74,000 in contractual services. In the House, that had been cut to $35,000. I think either it was a computer error or somebody trying to get some message. In the pre-conference committee, that amount that was raised back up to $50,000, but that still left us over $20,000 under what is a bare bones budget for admin support. For example, the rent alone comes to $31,000. The equipment for Xeroxing and the word processing center comes to another $20,000. So right there with those two items, we've got over $50,000, which is the current allocation. The additional money then that's been requested here would simply provide for telephones, postage, those kind of maintenance items. The two-gas district, I think that we invited some problem there by an inadequate description of some of the items. We identified a 10.6 in the two-gas budget for consultant services. It was really for contractual services for the snow removal of four subdivision areas, which are part of the access in the Chugach State Park. And that amount then was cut, it was labeled as a cut for consultant services, but it was actually, what was being cut there was a different item altogether. And I think that with this year especially, and the amount of snow that's piled up there, that expense has been incurred. There's an agreement with the private landowners up there regarding access to the park, where we don't have much choice about helping with that snow removal. In terms of coming up with the additional money then, within district operations, there was $18,000 available in this year's budget because of a reduction in the rates that the highway is actually charging this year by comparison with what we assumed was going to be charged when the FY79 budget was prepared. So that was $18,000 was sort of a windfall. The additional money would be brought in from the Division of Lands. It wasn't, I might point out, the administration's intent that originally that the money would come from there, but in the House Finance Committee it was realized that if Mike Smith resigns as he's announced he's going to do, there would be some available money in land and water management. So the overall effect here is one of elite ad within the Department of Natural Resources.
The net effect zero. Questions, Mr. Wolf?
Mr. Chairman, I wish there was some way we could include enough money in there to continue the operation of Mariner Creek and Dead Man Lake. Camp tonight, but I don't suppose that can be done in this film.
If I might respond to that, Senator, the amount of money that was identified as being necessary to do that was, I think, about 4.3 in the FY budget. The decrement system this year for the first time where we identified a certain amount of money out of existing programs. would result in a lawsuit, and that was, and along with several other reduced services that have been identified as definite, and that was one of the definite that was taken by the budget committee in the process of developing that budget. The amount would be necessary to restore that service would be approximately 4.3 million. I think we'll have that carefully identified.
You're saying $4,300 for the two part of the two type two?
And that's included in your FY80 request?
That was in one of the preliminary requests that was identified as an amount that.
What's the status of that $4,300?
It hasn't been. When it came over from the administration, when it came down from the administration, that amount had been dropped.
So, Mr. Grogan, do you have a suggestion for how we might accommodate that?
Well, following the same logic that the House took and that is also in the Senate Committee substitute to handle with other things in Chugach District, that is taking the money from other BRUs within the Department of Natural Resources. I think that amount is small enough that it would certainly fit within the existing vacancy.
We have a letter of intent, and we've modified the letter of intent.
I can just have a change the figures to reflect that. I would increase it by the 4.3 amount.
Okay. Then this is still appropriate?
Yes.
We would add another part to the letter of intent that indicates the stone removal contract. This is yes, we'll do the other. That's
appreciate that, Mr. Chairman.
All right. Any further comments on this bill? Okay. If not, we have a proposal we're researching for additional funding, and we'll hold this until Saturday. You can modify these for the intent item, but we'll have that back before the committee in front of this one. Thank you, Mr. Wolf.
Thank you.
Is there anyone from the Department of Law? Mr. Chief, do you have your people here now?
Yes, sir. Arthur.
Brings before the committee, back before the committee, HB 92.
Mr. Chairman, I apologize for not being here sooner. We received some erroneous information about the time of hearing for the day. I am Judy DuBois, Administrative Officer for the Department of Labor. And House Bill 92 serves two purposes, one being to take care of some over expenditures that occurred in the Workman's Compensation Division and the Second Injury Fund for the fiscal year 78. Both of those over expenditures were the result of claims that had to be paid against the fund and went through the system without the accounting system stopping them. They were valid claims and were due and payable. The $4,000 is for the Second Injury Fund, and that is a special fund which comes from receipts from the insurance carriers from individuals who have incurred a second injury in the line of work. The $800 would come from the general fund for the administration of workers' compensation.
Questions?
Section 2 of the bill is requesting an additional or supplemental appropriation for fiscal year 79, both of those being special funds, and that claims have exceeded our original budget projections in both categories. And in the area of second injury fund, there are a number of individuals who are in vocational schools for retraining in order that they can re-enter the workforce. They receive tuition payments and they receive an allowance while they are in training. The fund is just about in the zero point right now, and the payments that would go out to them in April could not be made without the additional funding.
Questions? questions.
What percentage did you miss by? What was your total budget for second injury?
I believe that was close to, the administrative portion is about $150,000, and I believe the total budget is around $700,000.
So we missed it?
Substantially. This is an area that we've had a very difficult time in projecting because we don't know the extent of injury. Most of these cases are, they go for treatment for a very period of time. Their total or permanent partial disability has to be determined. Most of these cases are referred from the Workman's Compensation Board, and until they're have fully recovered to the extent in which it's physically or medically capable, then they don't apply to the second injury fund. So for that reason, it's very difficult for us to determine the number of cases that will be coming before them.
Is this usually track in cases or in times when they're high unemployment?
I don't think so. Most of the cases that are coming before the second injury fund now are due to the high employment with the pipeline. And one reason that we think we've seen such a substantial increase in the second injury fund is that Alyeska did require every individual who worked on the pipeline to have a medical examination. So that if there had been a previous injury, such as a back injury or a leg injury or any type of injury, that was documented. Many times an employer hires an individual and he may have a previous injury that the employer does not know about, so that the people would not actually be eligible for the second injury fund if that hasn't been so noted. But because Alyeska did require the physical examination, these injuries have been documented.
Requiring finder's pay? I don't have any further questions.
Interesting meeting in Fairbanks where there was a charted correlation between the number of the back injuries that occurred when it began to get close to time for layoff in the wintertime. And personally, I think we're getting ripped off in many cases of such injury. And I don't know what the world to do about it. But I just have a very, very bad feeling about this.
I don't have a bad feeling about them. The department is working with the insurance industry and doing some follow-up work to see what happens to these individuals after they receive training to make sure that they do have these limited capabilities. We are looking at drafting some regulations to limit the time in which they can come in for an injury, which I think is a step in the right direction. We are also looking at limiting the time and the amount of money that can be used to retrain a person. As you know, the receipts in the second injury fund come from the carrier, and it's a portion of the insurance premium. When the second injury fund reimburses the insurance company, then that is realized back on the individual company as a rebate or a lower tax rate on his workman's compensation, or an insurance rate on his workman's compensation, to encourage the employer to community to hire people who are somewhat handicapped so that they will be able to find other means of income. The alternative to that is to continue them on the workman's compensation payment, which gets more expensive for the employer community because of the higher insurance rates. And then, of course, the department or the state is responsible for funding the difference because of the 1972, 74, and 77 amendments to the Workman's Compensation Act. So there's a great deal of money going out of the Workman's Compensation budget for these excess claims. I think the department is aware of the problems, and we're looking at revising the workman's compensation statutes in total to make them simpler to administer and to understand and to alleviate some of the tax burden on the employer.
When do you expect to
come up with those? We expect to have a bill ready to introduce in the next session of the legislature.
Senator Bennett.
Maybe just to clarify my thinking on the matter. A particular case where a fellow was up in one of the Alyeska camps and was kicked in the testicle, lost something like $21,000 from the first church. Then back to the Perkins Comp Board, and he's applying for a $19,000 settlement. We're talking totally compensation, about $40,000. I just can't quite understand the logic. Is this really a big issue?
I'm aware of the case you're talking about. I have the file on my desk, and I haven't had time to read it today. But the department has not made any settlement with the gentleman that you're talking about. His case is scheduled for an additional review, I can't say what's going to happen because that is an appointed board. But we are concerned about those kind of matters, and we are on a periodic basis reviewing the decisions of the board and working with the Attorney General's office in setting a precedent manual to prevent these type of things from happening.
Is it still correct that that person can go around to get some position or the position of his choice to get the various official opinions as to the extent of the decision?
An individual does have the right to consult his own private physician. The insurance carrier, as well as the board, can request that he see other or seek other medical opinions, which happens quite frequently.
Just in my limited experience, quite often, an individual will shop around until he gets a public surgeon who will go with whatever. Have grave, somewhat similar to what you're saying, have grave concern for taxpayers' dollars in this area. Somebody is genuinely disabled, genuinely incapacitated, I have a problem for that. But in some of these situations, it's just.
Dale, you've been off the clock. You got any others?
I don't have anything to do with this section here.
I move and ask unanimous consent to pass House Bill 92. Individual recommendations.
How many do pass this bill?
And we do pass it.
Thank you.
You check them out.
We get some of the damage stuff that's referred to.
What's the next one? House Bill 377. Making FY transfers of appropriation items. For the Department of Labor.
I'm
sorry, what's the number?
377, House Bill.
Mr. Chairman, I'm from the Public Committee. I've got to leave you short of 5 minutes. This one.
I think Senator Hatchie has her 3 o'clock also.
So we would short some of the seven.
Pardon me?
We have a meeting a
little later. You may have a meeting a little later?
We do.
I'd like to attend Senator Hackney's.
Mr. Chairman,
do you want to... No, just wanted to, Barry, I think that we probably might be able to get to 261, 262 today. It's our intention to do some bill cleanup work on Saturday.
Okay.
And what time will we come in on Saturday? That would be, what, 31st? Yeah, 10 o'clock. I think that there's a conflict. I forgot what it looks like. The intention was to do it, but I think there may be some change.
10 o'clock, sir. Sorry.
Yes, ma'am.
Mr. Chairman, this bill makes some transfers between appropriation items for the FY79 budgets and reducing the appropriation to the Occupational Safety and Health. The total appropriation would be reduced $158,800, of which $69,700 of that would be general fund. Section 2 and Section 3 reappropriate that money to the mechanical inspection program, which is a part of the Wage and Hour Division, and that would be in the amount of $55,000. And $14,700 to the Portland's Compensation Division.
Okay.
Well, Mr. Dale, Chief, the Director of the Wage and Hour Division, is here to answer any of your questions that you may have on the section dealing with mechanical inspection. And I could answer any questions you have on the occupational safety and health reduction or the workman compensation.
Okay, any questions of OSHA, on the OSHA, OSHA? Questions on the mechanical inspection from the protection category? Mr. Pesca?
Mr. Chairman, I'm not speaking to the merits of the request for transfer here at all. I just want to point out to the committee that last year, House Bill 920 became Chapter 163, 1978. And in that bill, the legislature appropriated $83,100 to the electrical inspector section, mechanical inspection, Mr. Cheek's office. The governor chose to veto $35,000 out of that bill. Now the governor is back asking you to transfer $55,000 back in to that. We had, at the chairman's request, prepared a suggested committee substitute that would only allow the agency to transfer $20,000, $35,000 of that general fund money would then be removed from the agency's appropriation. As to where the agency would obtain the money to solve Mr. Cheek's problem, I guess they'd have to go to the governor's contingency fund.
Where's that? Should we substitute?
I plead here. They've been distributed to files.
This is, yes, we do.
Yes. Senate committee substitute for House Bill number 377. I believe the committee has a copy in the file.
Are there no further questions? 3 o'clock is approaching. Do we have a motion?
And Mr. Chairman,
move it out of individual recommendations. Motion has been made to move it out of individual recommendations. How many due passes do we have?
I'm going to recommend.
Are you moving the committee now?
The committee substitute. That was your motion? Committee substitute HB 377 Finance. Hearing no objection. What do we have for due passes? Two. Hearing no objection, I just pass from committee. That individual rents. What did we do here? I guess. Do we have anything further to come before the debate?
The Department of Law did not get back to us on 91.
That was very stern.
I mean, on 91, though.
We did not schedule that.
Oh, okay. All right.
Oh, but we're holding it.
Yeah. Okay. When you said you had requested some additional information, they didn't get back to you on that. Oh, okay. Fine. I'll get the.
We got a memorandum. I don't have it. It's in our files here. And on four or five cases, the amount that the state expended. The question is, on the part of some members of the committee, whether those are accurate figures. What we've done is, tomorrow is budget audit. We're going to make a formal request at that time that those be looked at. However, it's anticipated that since the Department of Law doesn't keep track of their time in the same way that an attorney in private practice does, in my experience, I felt that, and they know exactly how much time they spent on their bill on that basis. It's going to be difficult to pin them down.
But yet they presented one hell of a case here in terms of things like cost and some of these other cases when they're requesting supplemental appropriation.
So, let's see, we'll stand in adjournment. 3 o'clock, your place. And,